Hello, Marion Pallister here from Justice and Peace Scotland. I hope you had a blessed Christmas and that the new year isn't too daunting a prospect. It's customary at this time of year to take a look back over the year that's been or to make forecasts about the year to come. Cleverer commentators than me are trying to avoid making forecasts about 2020 after the strange 12 months of 2019. But I reckon there are three issues that Justice and Peace Scotland will be prioritising. They are climate change, refugees and poverty. And yes, if that sounds familiar, it's because these are issues that just aren't going to go away. If I had to choose one image from 2019 that summed up for me the exploitation of our planet, it would be the heartbreaking clip of an orangutan wrestling with some huge piece of machinery that was ripping out the trees which formed his habitat. All around him was a devastated landscape that looked like the aftermath of a nuclear holocaust. If I had to choose one soundbite that summed up for me the poverty that is facing people around the world, it was one that I recorded for Radio Alba back in June of this year. I was talking to children in Zambia about the effects of climate change, and a 12-year-old told me that the price of mealie meal, that's the maize flour that makes their staple fill-up food, Nshima, had doubled from 60 kwacha to 120 kwacha in the previous 12 months. That, she said, meant families were eating just one meal a day. The situation in Zambia has worsened since June because for the third year running there has been a drought and maize crops are likely to fail again. Next door in Zimbabwe, people are starving. And in the UK, social media clips show us British children much younger than 12 explaining the intricacies of food banks. Children who are pale and thin and very aware that mummy doesn't eat as much as they do. Mummy whose 2 or 3 zero-hour contract jobs don't earn her enough to put food on the table. A United Nations report back in August of this year warned that exploitation of the world's land and water resources is now happening at a rate never seen before. I'm no scientist, but there are plenty of those who agree that such exploitation is fueling the climate crisis, and together these two factors are putting a calamitous pressure on our ability to feed ourselves. I've been a vegetarian for many decades, deviating very briefly when a doctor said I should eat oily fish to combat osteoporosis. As tests showed I wasn't under threat of osteoporosis, I happily retreated to my veggie comfort zone. But hey, what a first world problem that is. On several of this world's continents, there's no vegetarian label on what people eat. It's the only option. And now even that option is threatened. A current response to climate change in the Northern Hemisphere is to go vegan, to avoid all animal products, but to produce all the alternatives, such as soya, needed to meet this sudden huge demand. Huge expanses of forest are being ripped out. But of course, no one can feel holier than thou, because the meat eaters' demands are creating exactly the same problem. Rip out the rainforests of South America or East Asia, and whether we're growing soya beans or raising millions of cattle, the end results are the same. Loss of animal habitat, loss of indigenous people's traditional territories, loss of the trees that help deal with our carbon emissions. The land and water exploitation highlighted by the United Nations report, combined with and contributing to climate change, is putting this huge pressure on our ability to feed ourselves. The report, prepared by more than 100 experts from 52 countries, said that 500 million people already live in places turning into desert, and soil is being lost at between 10 and 100 times faster than it's forming. In 2019, we've seen the floods, drought, storms and other extreme weather situations that are shrinking the global food supply. If, as that UN report said, more than 10% of the world's population is undernourished, food shortages are bound to lead to an increase in cross-border migration. Of course, people are going to go in search of the means to support their families. That's what humankind has always done. But now they have to go further, and when they reach the destination they thought would answer their difficulties, they find either that climate change has devastated that country too, or that they simply aren't welcome because the local people are scared of losing what dwindling resources they have to these incomers. One senior research scientist, Cynthia Rosenzweig, who was one of the lead authors of the UN report, said this danger of food crises developing on several continents at once is a very real risk. She called it multi-bread basket failure, a vivid phrase that I find hugely disturbing. Zimbabwe in the middle of the last century was known as Africa's bread basket. Now the bread basket is empty, but Zimbabweans who migrated to South Africa in search of food and jobs have been greeted by waves of xenophobia by a population scared to share its own reductions in resources. That sort of unrest can so easily turn to something more ugly. Wars are fought over resources, and when lack of food and water become the resources at the root of conflict, there can only be losers. An increase in refugees and asylum seekers, already confused in people's minds with economic migrants, will have to be dealt with, and the hostile environment engendered during the last decade doesn't mark out the UK as welcoming of our brothers and sisters from around the world. And yet, as we do unto the least of these, over the past year, Justice and Peace Scotland has placed the environment at the head of its concerns, because without climate justice, peace is threatened. And climate justice means working for measures that will slow this runaway juggernaut that's heading for a fatal crash. It's why our website throughout the year has given advice on how we can act as individuals to slow climate change. It's why we planted trees at Carthin and in every diocese in Scotland to celebrate our 40th anniversary. It's why we held our Laudato Si, Caring for Our Common Home, conference in September. And if we are to end this year, this decade, on a note that contains something positive, it must be to look back on that conference and the positive buzz it created, and to look forward to Justice and Peace Scotland's involvement in COP26, the United Nations Climate Change Conference that will take place in Glasgow from the 9th to the 19th of November 2020. At our Laudato Si conference, we heard experts talking about ethical investment, holding banks and conglomerates to account for their actions. For example, I don't want my bank to invest its clients' money in mining in the Democratic Republic of Congo until the mining companies have stopped using slave labour and exposing children to the dangers of poisonous chemicals. Justice and Peace Scotland is working now with companies that scrutinise investors' records and make them clean up their act. We also heard how it only takes a bit of campaigning zeal to encourage the political will to divest from fossil fuels. In 2018, the Republic of Ireland became the world's first country to sell off its investments in fossil fuel companies. By 2023, the state's €8 billion National Investment Fund should have sold off all investments in coal, oil, gas and peat. And although Ireland was the first, the fossil fuel divestment movement is moving fast. pension funds, insurers, churches and universities, even the city of New York, have divested trillions of dollars in such investment. So, the news is not all bad. We're moving in the right direction. Justice and Peace Scotland has lobbied on climate change at Westminster, marched with climate chaos campaigners in Glasgow, and as I said, COP26, we'll be working to emphasise the absolute urgency of taking immediate and drastic action on climate change. 2019 has perhaps been Greta Thunberg's year, hers and all the thousands, millions of young people who've joined with her to campaign on the climate change issue. Those young people have had to bear the brunt of cynical criticism, but this will be their world and they are right to be so vociferous. It has perhaps also belonged to Sir David Attenborough, proof that older people do have open minds, do want change for good, can make noise to achieve a better future. Looking forward to 2020, I hope to see more young people seeking immediate change, hear more of them telling our leaders to listen to the science. Let's add our voices and not take the pressure off. There has been a sea change in the way most people view single-use plastic. The sceptics said we wouldn't convince supermarkets, for example, to stop mummifying every morsel of food and material that only clogs our landfill sites or kills our birds, cattle and marine life. But hey, it's happening. Let's not take the pressure off. The plastic coffee cups, the polystyrene fast food containers made from fossil fuels that kill our wildlife, these at last are beginning to disappear. 2020 could be the year we persuade all companies to phase out the stuff that uses up the Earth's resources and contributes to the climate crisis. If we put the climate crisis at the top of our 2020 agenda, the knock-on effect will be to lessen the risk to peace and increase the possibilities to reduce poverty and food insecurity. I'm not going to sound like Pollyanna, that early 20th century character from American children's fiction who saw the positive in the bleakest situation. After all, even Voltaire's Candide and the author slipped in the odd reality check amidst the flow of ridiculous optimism, the slave's missing limbs being the price of sugar in Suriname. But because Justice and Peace Scotland has 40 years of successful campaigning under its belt, I'm looking forward to a new year and a new decade in which, with your help in your parishes, we continue to be a force to be reckoned with. We all want peace, so this commission will fight for justice. And I wonder if, as we step into the new decade, you will join with me in this prayer by Michael Doherty, a variation on Howard Thurman's When the Song of the Angels is Stilled. When the carols have been stilled, when the star-top tree is taken down, when family and friends are gone home, when we are back to our schedules, the work of Christmas begins. To welcome the refugee, to heal a broken planet, to feed the hungry, to build bridges of trust, not walls of fear, to share our gifts, to seek justice and peace for all people, to bring Christ's light to the world. Thank you for listening, and I pray for a blessed new decade for us all.